Four.
This works.
Blog Talk Radio.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee yo. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo,
and well, the abrupt welcome to a Wednesday, final Wednesday it is. Final Wednesday it is, July 18th, 2007. I am your host, Dr. Mark Philippi, and joining us from the new The Ponderosa.
The Ponderosa.
Yes. Up there in Paterson, New York, it's Professor Val, who is amongst the boxes and the rubble. Why don't you give us a status report as you arrive there on Plymouth Rock up there in Never Never Land?
Well, the first thing was I missed the closing because all hell was breaking loose at our house. I had to pack up three birds, including the macaw, who kept telling me to shut the F up, the dog and the cat, and calm my sister down because she has a new truck and she didn't want them, you know, doing naughty things in the truck. And then I get up here, and I was too late to go to the closing, so my parents picked up my commission check for me, which was nice. And then I got to the house and waited for the cable guy, who absolutely sucked.
This is the Comcast, not Cablevision. We love Cablevision down here in civilization. Up there in Never Never Land, you're with the Comcast outfit. And,
they brought the wrong boxes. My internet does not work, so I'm on my trusty Sprint card, which is barely working.
The wrong box.
And,
I know what that feels like. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, my God. It doesn't even matter anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't matter. You take what box you can get.
That's it. So my computer is very, very slow tonight.
So well, nothing's different than last week. You're on the cell phone and
and
the car,
right,
just like you were last week when you were poised to leave.
I am on a landline, but it's not mine. I don't know whose it is.
Oh, okay. So then good. Any phone will work.
That's
and speaking
right.
of phones, you can call us here and break up this banter at 646-478-4847 here on Naked Soma's riff on this show. And we are riffing on something this week that is near and dear to our hearts, the movie Sicko. We went to see it, last Friday, I guess, Michael Moore's new movie, and there's been a lot said and done about it. We blogged about it the other day, if you had a chance to check it out, on the nickandsomer.blogspot.com. So without further ado, I'm going to sidle over there and see if we can play a segment of that for you to get you kind of a flavor. Michael Moore's been doing interviews, I think, pretty much 24/7 on this movie. And the reason why is because the media, which is funded by a lot of the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies that he targets, ain't exactly happy to have him on the air. So he's had some friction. So he had a big kind of shootout with CNN a couple weeks ago, and then MSNBC, which is a competitor of them, kind of took it upon themselves to have Michael on to talk about the controversy on CNN. So if you can follow all the alphabet soup, I'll play a little segment of this interview he did a couple weeks ago on MSNBC and see if you can get the flavor. Soundtrack from a countdown here.
It is a common mistake of 21st century journalism to assume that fairness entails hitting everyone equally hard. That is not fairness. Fairness means applying the same standards to everyone and hitting whoever violates those standards. In our third story tonight, CNN hit Michael Moore for, quote, fudged facts in his new movie, Sicko. Wolf Blitzer yesterday airing on the network, a report by Sanjay Gupta in which Moore's scene taking 9/11 rescue workers to Cuba for health care is portrayed as dishonest because Sicko does not mention that Cuba's health care is ranked worse than America's, except that the ranking actually does appear in Sicko. And P.S., it is irrelevant to Moore's point that America should have treated ailments arising from work at Ground Zero better than it has. Gupta's report ended with the accusation that Moore fudged his facts. Moore responded forcefully.
That report was so biased. I can't imagine what pharmaceutical company ads coming up right after our break here. But, you know, why don't you tell the truth? to the American people. I mean, I wish that CNN and the other mainstream media would just for once tell the truth about what's going on in this country, whether it's with health care, I don't care what it is. I mean, you guys have such a poor track record, and for me to come on here and have to listen to that kind of crap, I mean, seriously, I haven't been on your show now for 3 years. The last time I was on, you ran a similar piece about Fahrenheit 9/11 saying, oh, this can't be true, what he's saying about the war, how it's going to be a quagmire, the weapons of mass destruction, you know, and why don't you start off, actually, with my first appearance back here on your show in 3 years, and maybe apologize to me for saying that 3 years ago, because it turned out everything I said in Fahrenheit was true.
Dr. Gupta today apologized for botching one part of his fact-checking, but his report focused.
All right.
Focus less on specific fudging.
Gonna clip it right there. Did you hear everything there, by the way?
Yep,
okay.
Loud and clear.
Yeah. So that's sort of the theme of the promotion for the movie, is that the message sent is not always the message received, and Michael Moore wasn't too happy with the way Gupta over there at CNN was spewing things. Because what happens is that every single one of Moore's movies, you can go back to Roger and Me, he puts out a documentary that does have an agenda. He's not hiding it. He has a bias. That's why he makes the movie. And then everyone comes, you're skewing the facts, when the people that are reporting about him skewing the facts have already skewered the facts. So I don't know if there's a fact left out there that has not been painted and used for some agenda by somebody somewhere. Otherwise, to me, I'm missing the boat here, because I don't see where the mainstream or the alternative or the countercultural or the pirate media ever uses information for any other reason but to get their point across. So here's Michael Moore's movie, and he basically says insurance companies are savaging, in a word, the American public and capitalizing on their misfortune over and over and over again. So and he uses the insurance companies as sort of the pinnacle of it, because they're the ones making all the money. And, of course, they buy up a lot of advertising space. And he could have done the same thing with drug companies, and it would have been a shorter story. But, you know, speaking as someone, let's say, on the non-drug holistic side of the coin, it's the same thing is done with supplements. The same thing is done in the name of you know, let's have healthy food, and they put the organic label on something, or they put the fat-free label on something, and they charge you more. It's constantly about the money. And then when they say it's not about the money, it's even more about the money.
That's
so
right.
So you could get jaded, and you could get, you know, a little wistful about it, and just think everybody's out for a buck, and who cares. But Michael Moore, and during the movie, kind of one of the ironic things of the movie, is he does touch on the fact that you got 300 million people or so in this country, and the fact that everyone is put into the debt machine. Now, you could get there by just being poor without even qualifying for it, and that means you have nothing to lose because you got nothing to gain. Or you can go and try and get an education and try and get training, and you have to borrow money to go to school, and then borrow money to go into practice, and then borrow money to get your house, and pretty soon you're in debt. And then after that, like he says, if your health insurance is linked to your job, it's very difficult to quit because you lose your benefits. Where in other countries, that's not the case because the government takes care of those things. So I want to get your thoughts on this. I mean, he spends a lot of time talking about how, what do you get, like 25,000 emails when he put out the message of share your healthcare horror stories?
Yeah,
like
crazy.
In like a week or something? It was like,
yeah.
It was like, you know. So hopefully we get some phone calls tonight discussing this, because if you've gone, quote-unquote, off the grid, and broken code and pursued things that are out of network. I always pride myself on the fact that I've never been in the network. I've always been out of network as a practitioner. And what's been your experience there? Because this is Philo Week, and everything is relationship in Philo Week. So one of the most omnipresent relationships we have is with authority figures. Insurance companies take that role on. It's so funny how you hire them, and then they take over. They control what happens, when it happens, who's, how long your hospital stay is, what benefits you get in the hospital, where you can go for rehab, all kinds of crazy things. And nobody objects, because like I was saying before, when you've got that many people under the pressure of and control of debt, when the penalty is financial, nobody wants to raise a stink, because you don't want to be pushed further into the abyss. So it one of the points that comes out of Sicko is that you can hurt the masses a lot by making them slaves to their own debt, and then they're so mired down in their own situation that they can't correct the one that's happening to everybody in the common, in the mainstream. So if you got all these people basically that have coverage, that's the funny part. This wasn't about the millions of people that don't have health care coverage. It's about the millions that do, and how screwed they get, and how the system constantly. And then they showed one guy, I forget his name. He works behind the scenes. His job was to go into your health history and find ways to invalidate your claims. Because
that's unbelievable.
I know they do those things because I've seen insurance companies go through great measures to deny chiropractic care, which is the cheapest care of all. But you're just paying basically for visit sessions. You're not paying for a lot of intervention.
Yeah, my favorite part of that in the movie was that poor woman who had a serious illness. They paid her bill, and then they had this guy searching through to try to find a way to take the money back.
Right.
And they found that she had, years before, she had a yeast infection that she didn't even go to a doctor for. But because she failed to put it down on her records as something that she had at some point in her life, they pulled her money away, thousands and thousands of dollars. That
yeah.
blew my mind.
And it wasn't even related to the procedure that they
no.
did, right? It was something
no.
totally unrelated.
No,
totally
it was
unrelated.
Just that she lied. Mm. She didn't disclose the information. Can you imagine if you had to disclose every little bump and bruise? Come on.
Well, they're not, again, the system's not, talk about a system set up to be, not so objective, but to have almost complete self-interest. The only reason you exist is you're an ATM to them. You're just automatic money. They never pay off. And it's like Vegas. The house always wins. So the third party always wins, because if the insurance company goes down, then basically you don't have any coverage if you really needed it. And in the wake of things like Katrina, remember all the crap that went on during Katrina?
God.
I mean, you, in your real estate hat for a minute, all the people that had their houses, their homes, just taken away, gone, nothing left. It's a scrap. They got nothing.
Nope.
And
unless you had flood insurance, and most people don't have that.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is that even if you had it, the insurance companies themselves were just not responding. There was just so much about the insurance industry that I didn't like before, but after seeing Sicko, he's right. It is an industry that does not need to exist. It takes up a lot of money, and it, again, this is its final loyalty. The masses go along with it. They scare you into getting it. If you rent the car, you want the insurance. And then when it comes time to cash in, okay, I insured myself. The perception is, and this is a big thing for philos, the perception is I'm safe. I'm protected. I'm insured. And I wish I could find it on the web. I couldn't find it, but there's an old Flintstone line. it's one of the funniest ever. He's playing this monster in this tar pit thing, and the director's asking him questions before he goes in to start the scene, and he goes, "Do you have any insurance?" And Fred goes, "A little." And the director goes, "Roll him!" It's just classic. And it's like, it's this perception that you're safe, that there's a net, that there's something, look at all the insurance ads, you're in good hands. It's very parental and very like, don't worry, little baby, Nationwide is on your side. Against what? Every jingle they have, get a piece of the rock, it's protect yourself against them. It's really what it is.
That's right.
And so when you're uninsured, they showed a couple of people that were like, suturing their own wounds and things like that, and then they showed. That's how the movie opened. The guy's like, he cut himself, and he's not insured, and then Michael Moore goes, "But this movie isn't about him." And then they showed the dude that cut two of his fingers off, and he goes to the hospital, and he had to choose between sewing on the middle finger and the ring finger based on the cost.
That's right. He went with the ring finger because
That's fine,
he was sentimental.
Yeah, actually, he was an eco, but he was sentimental. But it was the follow-up move to get the ring finger stitched back on. But then later on in the show, they show a guy that in Canada that sawed his whole hand off practically and had the whole thing stitched back on, all kinds of, round-the-clock care, nothing. It was in Canada. It cost him nothing.
Yep. were appalled when they were told about this other guy.
It would be like in our country, like Michael Moore says, like the fire department choosing to respond to a fire call on this side of the tracks or that side of the tracks based on who has more resources. It's like the library only giving books to certain people. All the things, the mail only going to certain homes because, you know, you don't have coverage or you're out of network or that mailman can't go to this side of the street and that kind of stuff. It's bizarre that we live in a world that just sanctions this, doesn't even oppose it. But the funny part is that we're supposed to be this big melting pot in this country. So we're supposed to be like the big cauldron of ideas. But when we see an idea, like he says, when we see an idea from another country that we like, we adopt it. We assimilate other cultures, but we don't take this one in because it threatens the status quo. And this is all about authority figures all across the board, because it used to be, this is going back a little bit, it used to be that the doctors were blamed, for a lot of this stuff. And the drug companies and the drug reps were coming straight at them to sell their new drugs. They took the middleman out of the equation. And they had the patients going, ask your doctor. And there's a sequence in the movie where they have about 20 different reasons to ask your doctor for something. And the reason why is, of course, more drugs to keep you, basically pickled on all their stuff so that you have no chance to defend yourself because you're fighting off all the effects of the medications from the depression and the anxiety you have for being in debt. And all this, it really was a great movie for anyone who is in pop culture and doesn't realize that they're being sort of used and abused by the system every way you can, economically, politically. And the one thing that they interviewed that guy from England, I can't remember his name either, but he says if you take the vote away from the population and they don't participate anymore and get the right people representing them, then basically what happens is over time is that the balance of power moves back from the ballot box to the bank. And then very few people run everything, and that's why they showed all these political guys and how much money that was being pumped at them, from pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies, and all the money that was paid out to these executives of these companies, the boats they have and everything else. Meanwhile, like I said, that woman gets her surgery or whatever it is, and then because of a yeast infection, the money is taken away. So it is so obscenely one-sided, and then they go and attack Michael Moore.
Yep. She probably got it from being on an antibiotic some other idiot gave her anyway.
Yeah, and then the funny part about the movie was about three-quarters of the way through, Michael Moore, he has a kind of an epiphany, and there's an anti-Michael Moore website out there that basically attacks everything he does. And for the most part, he tolerates a lot of these things. But he really wanted this guy's site was shutting down because there was a healthcare crisis in this guy's family, this guy that attacks Michael Moore. And he needed like $12,000 to keep the website going. And so Michael Moore anonymously sends him the check. It was perfect timing. He's making a movie about healthcare. Here's his enemy with healthcare trouble. And he did it basically out of the mindset of this should not be the thing that knocks this guy out, not the healthcare system. And the guy takes the money. He's very grateful. And then, it turns out it's Michael Moore. I mean, the very guy that your whole website is pointed against is the guy that keeps you online, which is kind of ironic. So just going to see if I can get a little more of this clip going here.
Allegations and on trashing problems with healthcare in other countries, implying, hey, it could all be better. Now, what are you going to do? Let's turn now to Rachel Maddow, whose show airs every weeknight on Air America Radio. Good evening, Rachel.
Hi, Keith. Nice to see you.
What's wrong with the way the mainstream media covers America's healthcare system?
What's wrong is that it's almost like we're back in Bill Clinton's first term, and the insurance companies are still funding those Harry and Louise ads that are designed to make us more afraid of healthcare reform than we are of our own bad healthcare system. If you imagine our healthcare system as a man in cardiac arrest, the big business interests in healthcare are essentially telling us, don't use a defibrillator on him because you might leave burn marks on his chest. They're trying to make us more afraid of fixing the problem than we are of the problem itself, which has the effect of protecting the status quo.
As we heard in the excerpt, Moore essentially was implying that Gupta and or Blitzer and or that network are corrupt, biased because of support from pharmaceutical companies, assuming they don't actually get checks from Big Pharma. Are there more nuanced reasons that television news does a less than stellar job of reporting on the issue?
Well, Keith, you hinted at some of it in your introduction, this idea that you have to be, in order to be balanced, you have to be equally critical and equally respectful of both sides of the issue, even when one is plainly wrong. So just as we got fake balance between Exxon science and science on global warming, so too we get fake balance between Americans' experience of what's wrong with our healthcare system and what's put out as public relations by the people who profit from our bad health care system. It's not balance, and in fact, it's not even true.
And our next guest, Dr. Crazy Nutbag, who has concluded that there is no gravity.
Yes.
Is it tin foil hat thinking to wonder whether people in this country actually die every day because there are the proverbial cliched rich fat cat corporate execs out there who literally conspire to stifle genuine health care reform, let alone genuine health care debate?
Is there a more plausible explanation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. I mean, not only health care reform, but debate about real health care reform is a real challenge to the companies that have created the system that we have now in order to make themselves very profitable. I mean, Big Pharma is the second most profitable industry in America after defense, and they have a huge economic stake in protecting the status quo, and so they're doing it. It's not even very conspiratorial. They're just fighting to keep what's theirs.
What has to happen for real health care reform to take center stage in domestic politics in some sort of real meaningful way?
Well, I think that Michael Moore's movie is actually really resonating with people. It'll generate a lot of outrage, and that will help. But honestly, the big picture is that it's a government solution, and normal countries see health as an issue that has a government solution. And for us to really make progress on it in this country, we're going to have to kill the self-fulfilling, cynical, conservative prophecy that all government is necessarily as incompetent as our current one. We're going to have to see some political leadership that believes in the common good and the ability of government to actually get something right.
I think maybe you just figured out the Bush administration. It's designed to get us to be small government again because they're so big and so bad.
I'd rather have no government than these guys.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, we're approaching that, too. Rachel Maddow of Air America. Great thanks, as always, Rachel.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you.
Do the Simpsons.
All right, well, that's the MSNBC take on the CNN debate, which, of course, is biased. Just to kind of go around the horn on this a little bit, it all comes down to this philo trait of blind loyalty. Not so much that they're just completely incapable of seeing the forest for the trees, but they really don't want to. They don't want Santa Claus to not exist. So if you told the philo, okay, you're going to raise your child, you're going to lie to them about these five or six things. You're going to lie to them about the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus, oh, and health care. You know, you're going to tell them, oh, we're covered. They probably wouldn't sign up for that. But it's true in the sense that what they're saying there is by creating a mindset of you're being disloyal by questioning this thing. It's almost just like in the wake of 9/11, if you were against the war, you were not patriotic. And, of course, any time a philo is given the sense that they are being excluded, they panic. They're being banished from the herd, and they don't like to be singled out. So what philos do is they turtle, like I was saying on the blog there, and they hide from the truth because it's too painful to discuss, let alone actually do something about getting to changing it. And so here's healthcare now, which has gone amok in the last 10 to 15 years. And I still think the solution is not, you know, completely in the sicko movie. If you remember a couple years ago, there was that movie Supersize Me, about McDonald's. And it's that you have a country that has been sort of raised in the philosphere with no responsibility, no consequences for anything. So they could do pretty much whatever they want to their bodies, the jackass movement, all those things are out there. Beat themselves up, abuse their bodies, you know, pour themselves into a chemical vat of fat, and then run to the MD, and it's all better. You know, of course, with your holding your Blue Cross Blue Shield card, only to find out A, you're not covered, and B, you now have juvenile diabetes, or you have, you know, whatever, heart disease, and then you're a high risk for getting any coverage. So now you get to join the people that don't have any coverage. So it's a very circular system in the sense that it's designed to exclude you, it's designed to invalidate you, and then the culture is designed to condition you to say there's no consequences. You're covered, you're safe. And if you get mental about it and you start getting uppity, well, then you're right down the hall to the, you know, drugs for depression and anxiety. You know, so it's it's one step to try to say, okay, well, there should be less of this third-party stuff and get them out of the way, but it's not a one-step solution in the sense of how do you change a culture that does not feel any responsibility to anyone or anything, especially when it comes to money, because there's so much money here. Money can be thrown at almost any problem, and it could Band-Aid a lot of things together and keep the ball rolling, but it doesn't change the game. Everyone just keeps sliding into the muck here. So my upbeat little soliloquy there, why don't you give us a call at 646-478-4847 here at Make It Soma. And I want to get a little more into the domains of this a little bit because, you know, when you look at Michael Moore, I profile him to be EXO, okay? He's
yeah.
got all
yeah,
the signatures.
That movie, yep.
Okay. Yep. Now, he's representing, in the EXO way, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, EXOs adopt the worldview of the people they're trying to communicate to. He represents the common man. He represents the small guy, you know, and he represents the FILO experience because that's why he does so many human interest stories. I mean, there's a terrible story in there about a little girl that died. Basically, she was at the wrong hospital. It wasn't covered by Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente. I hate those people anyway. The little girl basically ended up dying because she wasn't given the proper care because they had to move from hospital A to hospital B. Again, the third party came first, and the party ended. You know, they came out and told the mother, your little girl's expired. And again, you would think that one story alone would be enough, but no, there's so many of them. There's, like you said, you got 25,000 of them that show just. I don't know if it's gullibility on the part of the citizen or just almost like a Machiavellian attitude on the part of these insurance companies to just say, well, if you're stupid enough to sign this policy, I'm smart enough to take your money. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know? So but that overarching theme is what I really wanted to get into is here's an EXO, Michael Moore, putting this in front of the FILO community. And he's popular, and he's got a lot of backing. Plus, he has a lot of Onto critics that come at him to attack him, and he goes right back at him. When the system attacks him, it's so funny because George Bush, you know, card-carrying, very low coherence FILO, is now, of course, investigating Michael Moore because he challenged them on certain things. And when they went into our naval base in Gitmo in Cuba, he was accused of bringing people into Cuba, you know, for care and stuff like that. But as you saw in the movie, they wouldn't let him in. He couldn't get into the naval base, but he got into Havana.
Right, some little neighborhood hospital. They were very happy to help him, and they spoke perfect English.
And all the things that you were told, it's almost like what happened with the Russians. You know, growing up, you saw them every 4 years at the Olympics marching in with their little fez hats and their blank faces and that whole Russian motif. But when the veil came down and we saw them go through Glasnost, you saw a suffering mass of people that were basically being left for dead by their government, you know, dying on the breadlines and everything. And these were not the monsters that everyone thought they were. Now, of course, they're all over the NHL. They're all over everything. So it's that sort of shift from egocentric, just me, to ethnocentric, just us, our culture, to this world-centric view that Michael Moore is trying to give the FILOs so that they can see another FILO community that's being treated better than them. And if you've ever walked around, I think we just got a FILO invasion there, did we?
Yes, I think so.
We
said
FILO
3000. I was a little rant. I was a scared little FILO when I heard the rant going.
Yeah, you said he came in. I said FILO 3 times. I'm like, Beetlejuice, you dialed in. Is that equation of...
Yeah, but I had to come in like a turtle. I heard the rant going. I sort of pulled back in my shell. I was like, oh, my God.
You're running all cylinders here. This is FILO Jeb joining us from the land of the free up there in New Hampshire. And long story short there, and Jeb, you're the perfect person to ask, when you're with your kids and your kids see another kid get something they want, is it like a principle of physics to deny your kid the thing that they want at that point? You could say no to your kid, and the kid goes, wow, now I got to get past mom or dad here. But if little Johnny across the street has what they want, and you see little Johnny with the thing, and the kid goes, I want it now, the final tendency is to balance the scales, no?
Oh,
give
yeah.
the kid what they want.
It's then it becomes really the battle of of what is your will? You know, do you have it? Because if you're, you know, and but the general tendency is, of course, because you got to get what the other person has.
Yeah, and that's
they call the puppy dog clothes, right?
Yeah, it could go, well, go, yeah, because the Philo mentality on all of this stuff is equality. A Philo cannot stand unfairness. You know, no fair, okay, that's not fair. And the minute they perceive that the rules are different somewhere else, they complain, and they will protest, even if it's you know, having a tantrum or whatever on just the scale of a mother and child. But when you do it with a whole country of Philos, especially 300 million of us, and there's probably 200 million Philos running around, if they see that the Canadians get free care and the UK has free hospital stays and France has free undergrad colleges and the nannies coming to the home and the Cubans are getting the same prescription for a nickel, you're going to see them saying, well, what about them? How come they get it? We don't, mommy. You know, and the government's going to have to respond to that. But of course, they put us, and this is, I think, something by design by the powers that be. They put us, they wrap us in the flag and the Bible, two big Philo signatures, by the way, is you belong to the country, you belong to the religion. Wow, there is the northern, no longer Westchester sigh of disgust. And they use that, well, if you're one of us, the land of the free, home of the brave, you're an American, you don't need what those frogs have in France, you know.
Right,
and they
pitch
you.
This is the greatest country on earth, and so why would you want that? And you know,
what
would
it be like them?
It's very powerful to, and it's something, you know. Until I started, you know, met you and started understanding this work, it was a real difficult thing for me because I would have these incredibly strong emotions about equality and me having the same as them and comparing myself to others and not understanding this sense of duty and honor and all that stuff and wanting to be part of the group. At the other side, I had this strong ego signatures that was like, I want to be different. I want to be me. And so I always had that thing. And it was really a kind of an internal battle. So I became like this procrastinating Philo that wanted to do everything, but I just wouldn't do things a lot of times because if I didn't do, then I was out by... like I became excluded, what's the word I'm looking for, by default.
Yeah.
And I really think that's a big part of why I had these behaviors, because I didn't have that onto to lead. I didn't have that in my sense of being a leader and having that confidence to do it. So I just sort of punked out and just didn't show up, which made it easier than going along with stuff that I didn't really feel and believe in, or even though I had that one sense pulling me. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, well, you vote with your feet. I mean, that's pretty much what was happening. It's like, you know, in the 70s, you had the not running for primetime players going on Saturday Night Live, and they weren't ready for primetime, so they would put it late at night on Saturdays, and they had their fun, and, you know, a lot of them became icons for me, like Belushi and Bill Murray, and, you know, you get the line in stripes, soldier, I know you're always last. I'm pacing myself, Sergeant. You know, that kind of a thing, where
yeah.
you're still in the line, but you're so sort of like, I don't want to belong to them. I don't want to be a sheep like them. I want to be individualized. And the country gives you two sort of recipes of, you know, be the bold individualist and make your own way and, you know, be the self-made man. And, you know, and this whole sort of archetypal Marlboro man, you know, take on cowboy kind of thing. In the meantime, it's like, well, not unless you have your card for Costco and you have, you know, you have all these things that everybody else has. So it's like you're constantly battling this internal struggle between being unique as an individual and being part of the group, as whatever group that is, that they're trying to condition you to, you must adopt these mores and beliefs and act like this, otherwise you're not one of us, and especially when you have a war going on. I mean, that's the ultimate us versus them. And with the third parties, I mean, we were talking a little bit before about, you know, being the out-of-network guy, you know, the chiropractor, it's another form of rebellion, by the way, is I'm going to go into healthcare, but I'm going to go into this other discipline that nobody recognizes, everyone thinks is garbage, which, you know, for me and you was chiropractic. And, you know, you go through it, and then inside of that little subculture, they fill you with a whole bunch of propaganda against the MDs, more death, and all the other fun things we learn. And then you go out in the field, and it's like, now you got to deal with the individual doctor, not the medical profession as a whole, not the AMA. I never met the AMA. I met people in the AMA. And you realize that it does come down to all politics are local. So you can have a decent relationship with someone who doesn't, you know, have the same, you know, degree as you, and you're not showing disloyalty to chiropractic. But, you know, I remember coming out of school, and, like, you know, some of my friends came into practice, and right away they're writing prescriptions to go see the orthopedist to get Naprosyn for their client. And I said, I would get crazy. I was like, well, you know, when my friend Glenn over there in Pittsburgh, who's probably sitting on a mountain of money right now, I said, well, you can do that, Glenn, but let me know when the orthopedist writes on a little piece of paper subluxation and sends the patient over to you. You know, go get adjusted. So it's like, how do you cooperate when you have such diametrically opposed worldviews, especially when you're dealing with within a culture, let alone with us in another culture? Like, you know, the Canadians, you saw that one clip in the movie where the guy was saying, well, we're one nation. So why would we want to contribute to a system that took care of the people that were lower on the economic scale as opposed to just the richer people? Because it hurts the country if everybody out there, if their health is going down. And why would we have a flag that says we're all Canadians if we don't do something all together, which would be to take care of each other? Where in the United States, I mean, you saw them dropping off people with no health care coverage at Skid Row. You know,
that was amazing.
No, in their hospital gowns.
Yeah. Oh God.
Wandering the streets,
What was interesting to me, and it was kind of the moment of the movie that turned me as far as the universal health care. Because I'll tell you, being the good fellow that I am, I still had that mantra running in my head that from the Sopranos over there in New Jersey, what they were talking about, and universal health care, it'll kill you, it'll kill the individual practitioner, and that we already have a system like that as Medicare, and look how screwed up that is, and you don't want that system. And I was looking at this, and so this whole movie, that's running in my head, and I'm kind of opposing this universal health care. Then I'm looking at these examples going, wow, these people are eating these nightshades, and they're not dying. And but still, you know, it still was such a strong thing that it couldn't be a good thing for everybody. And then,
oh, it's a kill the rabbit thing. It's totally fear of the unknown.
What turned me was I totally lost my train of thought there. So carry on, Dr. Filippi and Professor Val, and I'll regroup here in a minute. Go ahead.
I am so shot today that I don't have too much to say tonight. I'm just happy to be here and actually hooked up on somebody's phone line.
Jeb, did you finish that thought about what turned you?
No, I totally lost my train of thought. So I'm going to say happy birthday to my lovely wife. Turns 42 today.
Happy birthday, Nora.
Thinking of it.
Try not to be pregnant with too many more of them.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so we were talking about the movie and universal health care and what...
Yeah, they skewer it towards the socialized medicine thing. But
here's what it was. There's this whole socialized, if you go to socialized medicine, you become socialist, and that's the next thing you know, you're doing the goose step down the main street, and it's like, but then I looked, and I love Moore's delivery, but then I thought about it, hey, we have a socialized fire department.
Right.
We have government-run police. We have government-run schools. Mm-hmm. So why not a government-run health system? I was like, yeah, you know, it was that moment. Like, of course, everything else that really relates to the public welfare and the public good, is, except maybe the power companies and that stuff, but they even kind of regulate that a little bit. But there's no regulation in healthcare, and certainly not. The only regulation in healthcare that I see is the money being given to the FDA and the and the lobbyists
and
politicians, and for the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies.
Yeah,
so
we've got a couple issues that'll break down, but you go ahead.
Yeah, I just in general, I'm saying, okay, that makes sense to me, and then who loses out? Well, so your top end private physicians, they might lose out a little bit, but you know what? The best of the best. If you're in line for a hip surgery and you need a new hip. And you're limping along, and then you go to the doctor, we need to put a new hip. And say it takes 6 months. If you really wanted that hip, there's always going to be some guy in the town or in the area. If you have the money and you want to get that hip sooner, you could go get it. But you know what? That same guy in the United States right now, you might have to wait 2 or 3 months for. So it's these. You hear all this stuff like, in the universal health care and the socialized medicine, you'll have to wait 3 years to go see a doctor for a chest cold. It's like, no, you don't. That wasn't the experience that these people expressed. And so I don't know. It was, to me, I'll tell you, people I was talking to. I was talking to people tonight who were saying they were depressed about the movie and they didn't want to be. I said, you know what? I was inspired because I saw these people out in this other part of the world who were having this really amazing experience. And it's sort of this whole quality of life thing, where, particularly the French. He did such a great job. They're drinking the wine. They're all lovey-dovey in the park, and they're having their baguettes and their croissant, and then they got the nanny coming in. And then, I mean, that was this beautiful image of, wow, you know what? And then that's when Philo kicked in and said, hey, why not me? Look what they got, Mom. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, 5 weeks paid vacation. I mean, it was unbelievable. So it's like,
and
you know,
that guy, how about the guy who's sick and he gets over his cancer, and they go, you know what? You need to take 3 months off.
Take 3 months off.
Paid, 100% paid.
I went to the river. They show the guy on the boat partying. Can you imagine the workers' comp claims around here? These guys, they're professionals that go to the courthouse in White Plains here to fake workers' comp injuries and stuff, and get these guys, you know, coverage and stuff. And it's like that. All those, there's a lot of cottage industry that feed off of, you know, not just the drug companies and all the insurance companies, but all the lawyers and that whole layer around it that they used to call the pinata syndrome. When someone had a car accident, they got out of the car and there was a cop, a lawyer, a PT, an OT, and a radiologist. Everybody was,
and a chiropractor.
And a chiropractor said, look at his chops. And all to prove how sick and damaged the person was, not if they can get them better. You know, and I used to get mad with people because I would call the third party people, and I would call them up, and I was like, you know, have you ever had a black and blue, a contusion? And they asked the claims analyst, and it was like, you know, I had to do the NLP with them. I'd say, yes, okay. Were you damaged or were you hurt? Could you make a different distinction between damaged and hurt? Damage is like the guy that got his fingers cut off. He's damaged, but the person that has, you know, a sprain or strain, he's going to recover. He's going to repair. And I used to sit there and read the list of the 40 common conditions. Now, of course, thanks to the wonders of chiropractic lobbying, there's 41 because subluxation got adopted as a common condition, which is hilarious. And I said, look,
who do we have to thank for that?
Well, that would be your wonderful pals over there in New Jersey, the Sopranos, Patch and Tempo, Registered Republican, subluxation.com. You can go. You know, write them your emails. They were attempting to make chiropractic separate and distinct, and they went, you know what? You got this one condition you talk about. We'll adopt it as one of our common ones and feed it over to PTs. So now PTs can adjust, and, you know, we can't say anything. So I used to read the list of the 40 common conditions. I say, how many of these do you have? And, you know, to the claims analyst, I say, really? And how much does insurance company X cover any of these things? Well, they don't cover any of them. I said, all right, so if someone has one of these, submits a claim, and then you're going to come to me and say, I can't take care of the person, why do I need you?
Mm-hmm.
Long silence. Yeah. So it's like you always have the same set of ingredients of the person who pays the premium, thinks they're covered, gets hurt, doesn't get damaged, but gets hurt, runs crying to Papa Bear for their coverage, and the coverage people say, I don't think so, not medically necessary. You know, which chiropractic never is medically necessary because it's Burger King. It's the competitor. It's an alternative way to address the same problem. And because chiropractic's looked at as what? Manual medicine. I love that when medicine became the suffix to everything, you know, energy medicine, you know, and now it's science. Everything is science. Comfort science for your socks, things like that. You know, and again, that's the Philo has two needs. One to feel safe, and the other is to feel protected. So if they always create an authority that can protect them, whether it's science or medicine or the government or whatever it is, if they don't trust that authority, then they protest in the streets like they do in France. They go, hey, you said you were going to back us. But in America, it's the opposite. You're told, I don't need anybody. I don't need no help. And then I fall down. I break my leg. Wait a minute. You know, I need a little help here. A little help. It's like the Monty Python thing. A little help. Or what's Austin Powers? I think I've broken my leg in six places, you know. So we in this country, we're taught not to ask for help or to assume that help is automatic. And either one of those things is going to lead to a problem eventually, right? So that's why I think this movie is, we were talking about, if you combined it with Supersize Me, which is the patient responsibility side of the coin. You know, if you shovel a bunch of garbage into your mouth for 50 years, you end up with all these limiting conditions, and then you go and try and get coverage later, or go back and sue McDonald's for feeding you the fatty food, you know. It's like there's always this tendency to kind of go around and blame what's outside you for what's going on in your life, and ultimately you become you're not able to determine the direction of your life, and that's why he was saying that a lot of this stuff has to do with just how happy you are, and it generally seemed the Canadians were happier, the Brits, who of course you know we would never think the Brits are happy, but they look pretty happy in that movie, and the Frenchy Frogs, they were ecstatic. They're laying around in the park like it's a video for, you know, it was like everybody just won the war or something. And the Americans they showed were moving into their kids' basement, and it was like they were miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's kind of funny because Vilos always, and to the point of nausea, will have, you know, the sunny side of the street going. They will hum that little song to themselves, and they will cope better than any of the other domains out there because they have each other. At least we have each other. I mean, it's like maybe that's one of the reasons why this stuff never gets changed is because there's such a tolerance level because if we're all going down the same way, it all goes down, the ship goes down, then we don't perceive it being wrong because it's the common experience of everybody else. And the Philos don't make those kinds of distinctions. The Ontos do. So it's like somebody has to say, and Michael Moore, he's very good at changing domains. You watch any one of his interviews, he'll do all four of them. He did all four voices in the movie, too. I sent an MP3 file of an interview he did with Opie and Anthony about it, and he goes, yeah, if you watch the movie enough, you get the impression I knew what I was doing. It's kind of funny. He goes, sometimes, you know, when Michael's doing some of the funny bits, he's talking fast and he's upbeat, and then when he does, like, we're a human interest, he'll go, and then the girl died. You know, it's like, he talks off Philo. And it's like, yeah. You know, it's like.
Now, what is he? Is he
he's EXO. He's EXO.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Yeah, and that's what's so funny. He could wear any one of those masks very well. And that's why whatever, like he went on with Wolf Blitzer, he's ontoing the F out of the guy. He's screaming at him, I demand an apology. He's like. And then you see him 5 minutes later, he's on MSNBC, and he's echoing it up with Keith Olbermann, and he's, yeah, you know, these Bush assholes, yeah, you know. And it's like, it's funny because he's not unaware of it. You know, that, and the thing about EXO, you got to remember, they're not attached to whatever it is that they're putting out there. They're using it as a means to communicate to the audience that they're trying to connect to. So ultimately, what you learn out of the movie is that the Philos are in a position to change things, but they don't have the resources or the individual will, and the EXOs that are technically running the system and don't have any feeling or all for anybody involved are ultimately the ones that can affect that change, that have the actual tools to do it, but they don't have the means to get it out because they don't have the numbers. You know, it's like, so that's why he creates a movie and distributes it to the Philos and says, here's three other pools of Philos that have better than you. Are you mad enough yet? Are you out of your mind yet? You know, and that's what he thought he did the last time with Faraday 9/11. But I think the movie came out too late. It came out the summer of 2004, you know, right before the election, and there just wasn't enough time to. Some would say the election got stolen again. I would say that, but it wasn't enough time to get the truth out about, you know, the way Bush was running things, and now, you know, here we are 3 years later. Look at all the things he said in that movie that came true as far as the way that the war was run, everything else. So, you know, we started out talking about healthcare, we kind of meandered into money, and we talked about the effect of that on quality of life, and this whole concept of philo-turtling, of not wanting to offend while you're being offended, is really the phenomenon here. Ecos will never put up with it. They will run away and flee, the eco will. We'll all move to freaking France before that happens to us. So you can't rely on the ecos for this one. The Ontos will be basically everyone that protests, they better bring their guns to town because Bush is going to do to them what he does to everybody else who objects. He's going to investigate you. He's going to you know, basically persecute you like he does to Michael Moore. But for the most part, Michael Moore, he's an EXO. He comes right back at them, which is kind of funny. You know, so
you think that, you know, that guy's website
yeah, the guy he paid for, yeah, we're talking about that.
What is he? You think he's Philo?
Oh, the guy that's anti Michael Moore.
The guy that he paid the $12,000 to. You know, the guy that.
I read a little on his site last week. I read it. he was Philo when he got the money, but I think for the most part he's Anto. He's just loco here at Anto, which is just like, you know, what's an Anto? It's just an alpha Philo. And
right.
The reason why he's going to go after Michael Moore is that he's going to get hits, because anyone that takes a position as extreme as Michael Moore is always going to have its equal and opposite, you know, detractors, because everything's agenda driven, you know. So it's it makes sense that it's kind of funny the way he did that, by paying for the site and keeping him online, because it was a health care issue.
Didn't he pay for his wife's health insurance or something?
Yeah, he paid
That's
the 12 grand.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah, he paid the 12
yeah.
grand. So it was either that, the website, or his wife's health issue had to be addressed, and he decided that, he'd help the guy out anonymously and, you know, used it as fodder for his movie, which, of course, it was a genuine act with a genuine agenda behind it.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So, that movie gave me, a lot more, to go on than I would have had otherwise, because he gave inside stories of the healthcare industry, inside stories of what goes on behind the scenes with the government part of this. And if you watch the tour he's done, you know, going around the different states and different legislative branches, like I said, I don't think it could be solved just by making the government give free hospital visits and things like that, because there's too many layers that are affected economically, and the balance of power would be shifting. And all of us, you know, woos out here that are used to, you know, operating outside the grid, if we all became government employees overnight, then it would be the practitioner that would be persecuted, because now the government would control if you got paid or not, and we'd have to all wear the same uniform, and we're way too.
But I don't think that would happen, because
we stay outside. They just wouldn't let us in. I'm just saying.
We wouldn't be in, and that's the thing is, that's why it wouldn't bother me, because as a chiropractor, as a medical doctor, they're all, for the most part, they have to go lockstep anyway, and if they decide not to go lockstep, they're going to be on the outside. They're going to be all cash guys anyway, and
mm-hmm.
for us, we're already not well. There'll be some guys that would want to get on the inside, just like the guys that want to get on the VA commissions and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Good for them. And if they want to get their be on a salary and being on a military base, good. I mean, because I would rather those people be getting adjusted anyway than not getting adjusted at all. But for you and for me and for most of us out here, it's going to be the same story, except that we're going to have to bare bones a little bit and go cash. But at the same time, because people don't have – If you could snap your fingers, if they didn't have to come up with 12 grand or, you know, 12 grand a year for insurance, that leaves 12 grand open for them to spend, on other forms of health care or other things like us. So I think at the end of the day, we're in about the same position because, well, you're already cash anyway.
Yeah,
so
sort of.
It wouldn't affect you.
No. What I think would happen is that you get two basic flavors. You get treatment centers for, you know, these, like the docs buildings that are around now. That would be free, you know, government-run, you know, treatment centers. And then maybe in the future you might get these things called coherence clinics that had a fitness center and had a spa and had people like us doing private work and somatic education going on. And you pay a one flat fee membership for that, and you have your a la carte things for different events, things like that. But you would join it like you'd join any other community, like you join the Y now.
Right.
You know, so it would be lower cost. And there'd be more players, but we'd be operating in something the size of a Costco, with, you know, seven or eight floors of stuff going on that's all based on things that are outside of the mainstream that are not government. We'd be like an NGO organization, you know, instead of an HMO, non-government organization. So,
like the WCA.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Like the WCA. There you go. All right, it's 8:53, so I think it's time for some somascopes as I check my IMs here. And Val's on it, 7.5 minutes to go. So we're going to be pedaling away from the Philoville, and please, you guys, you know, get on the blog and give us your feedback on this, because I tell you, this movie Sicko is going to come up over and over again between now and the election in 2008. It is so important, if you're ever going to change the balance of power out there, to not use the political labels for this and to simply deal with it like a human being and be a full four-star Soma that you are. So as we... pedal out of Philoville, thank God. Get the mud flaps out, because it has been a muddy week. Val's done moving around, I think. We've gotten to two moves this month, one for the office and one for her. So we are now poised for, yet again, the Ontosaurus is back.
Oh, come on.
That's right.
Can I get a break?
No.
No. It's back next week. Yep. Beginning the 23rd of July, we are into onto a week, heading to our full moon at the end of, what was it, 29th or so. So with that in mind, these are the somascopes for the week coming up. So as you come out of the basking sort of soup of spontaneous Philo week, we go into security, first interface, and Onto. So what is this going to happen next week? We go from kind of an open sort of, like I was saying last week, like surprise, surprise, surprise all the time, to predictable, 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 and very rule-oriented. So watch the number of parking tickets go up next week. Watch a lot of nitpicking going on, a lot of details. It's a heavy week. It's going to be a lot of bureaucracy. It's going to be a lot of that sort of stop-and-go traffic kind of a week, because when the Onto over-regulates, and this is really what they're going to be doing, it, like when you make something secure, you make it tighter. So everything gets pushed together. So for the firewalls, they're going to feel sort of like, you know, they've been given timeout in a way. You know, like go in the corner, timeout. And they're taken away from the openness that they had the week before. So they're going to feel a little compressed and a little more kind of withdrawn and less able to communicate with people that communicate freely, so to speak. Everything's going to come through channels. So it's going to be that kind of a bureaucratic week for a Philo. The Onto is going to be looking for a fight. Looking for a fight with anyone and anything. If anyone's out of line, because they're the police of the Soma universe, so that's what they're going to do. So beware of the Onto next week for that reason. Make sure you don't leave the butter out or the seat up, or, you know, you forget to put a stamp on an envelope, or you don't put your book away.
Don't forget to wear your batting helmet.
Exactly. Yeah, it's nitpick week, believe me. And the thing is that these are all short little fires. It's not like a raging, you know, firestorm. It's going to be brush fire after brush fire after brush fire. For the ecos, it's for them, for ecos, basically, it's going to be business as usual. What? I'm in trouble again? But you're in trouble every 5 minutes for something else. Instead of being in trouble for some huge thing, you're in trouble for 1,000 little things. So for the eco, it's sort of like prickly heat. Just scratch it and keep moving. Don't get too nuts with it. It's very superficial. It's just a thunderstorm, and it'll pass. So for the eco, it's just like tolerate, 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 and just do one of the things like Quint does in Jaws. Yeah, 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 and just keep going. Don't fight too many battles because it's going to keep coming at you. And, of course, the only one that skates through it all is the exo, who doesn't participate in this conversation very much because they don't engage on a personal level with it. So for them, unless it means that something doesn't work, that there's something to actually fix and remedy, they won't catch much of this security stuff because their job is tech support. So a lot of repairs, a lot of air conditioners going out next week. The exo has to deal with basically a full schedule. Like there's going to be a lot of things to fix, to tinker with.
So Val, you better go out and dismantle some things, break some things in the house.
Oh, I can do
that. Well, I mean they're going to take the onus of security to tie everything down that isn't that's loose end. So you're going to get, it's almost like a second wave of those garage sales, yard sales, a lot of getting rid of stuff, and people generally preparing to go away for August. So the exos are going to be sort of clearing house. It's sort of the middle level of the summer when the construction contracts change. So you see a lot more roads under construction, things like that kick in. So on a technical level, the exos are going to be doing that. And always watch this time of the summer for a lot of crap on the Internet with a lot of security breaches with viruses, things like that. That's another thing that's going to be huge somascope-wise next week is those midsummer, when they dump all the viruses out, where all those 14-year-olds in New Delhi get the cracking of the code. And they get a big scare going because they always try to sell the new versions of those things right before school starts. So there you go with that. So there's your somascopes for coming up on Onto week, and we will turn it over to Jeb for his tip of the week. Go ahead, Jeb.
60 seconds to go. Make
all right. The tip of the week is just going to reflect what Mark said earlier about look at this stuff. Look at Sicko. Go see the movie. It's well worth it. It's entertaining. Keep it, watch it with an open mind and an open heart, and look at it from with a little bit of an exo perspective. And take your Philo hat off and think about the information and look at it from that perspective of what are we all doing and what are we all wanting and what's really best for all of us. And then your Philo heart says, how do we take care of and nurture our young and our old alike? That's my tip of the week.
All right, Val.
Quote of the week.
Quote
ready?
For you, yeah. Go ahead.
someone who's not a philo, this is from our friend, well, I'll tell you the quote, the great masses of the people will more easily fall victim to the great lie than to the smaller one. Adolf Hitler.
There you go. Not a philo. And on that note, we'll listen again. Travel light, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
See you guys.
Bye.